O'Reilly Digital Media explores the future of audio, video, and photography. Each show brings you insights from leading experts. Learn more by visiting digitalmedia.oreilly.com.
I'm Derek Story, digital media evangelist for O'Reilly Media. I'm here with John Paul Cavnegro. Welcome. I'm so happy to have you here. We want to talk about printing a little bit.
Yeah. We just finished the Epson Print Academy at Photoshop World. It's pretty much the only place that the Epson Print Academy is happening right now, though we hope that we'll expand. We've had a really wonderful run. Initially, Bruce Fraser was with us. Andrew Rodney's now on board.
Yes.
Jeff Shewe, Greg Gorman, myself, Mac Holbert. So it's really the best of the best. It's a really fantastic time, and it's I look forward to going out on the road with these guys because I always learn something.
I can imagine.
Over the years, we've always traded information, and every session I learn something.
Right.
So imagine coming into that kind of brain power for
you know,
an entire
day. I've never had a chance to go to the Print Academy. So I'm curious, and I'm sure a lot of people are, what actually happens during the academy itself? What is the basic approach that you guys take, and how do you move people through the workshop?
So there are several sessions throughout the day. Andrew Rodney usually starts out the morning on color management. He's got an unusual ability to make a very complex subject understandable for photographers. Jeff Shewe talks about workflow and camera raw. He'll also sometimes talk about black and white conversions when Greg Gorman isn't there. Greg also gives his taste on black and white conversions. And the nice thing is that in between sessions, we get to show our work. So it's a little bit of a break because sessions are fairly information rich.
Yeah, I would imagine they're intense.
Right.
Actually,
so we want to put a little inspiration in there as well.
Yeah.
Mac Holbert and I always take up the rear. I'm kind of the anchor. Mac starts out in fine art workflow. He's really been a pioneer in digital fine art printing. Starting out with the Iris printer and then moving on. In fact, his initial Iris printer is in the Smithsonian collection.
Right.
But then I come in and finish off fine art workflow. And sometimes Mac and I'll share the stage a little bit. I'll talk about localized correction and proofing, which is kind of the back end of color management. When color management has taken you as far as you can go, there's still a lot of things you can do with looking at pieces of paper. Mm-hmm. And if people think the fine art of proofing is lost art, then it's very much here today with us. In fact, it's evolving.
Interesting.
So,
when what kind of person often do you find coming to the academy? And what I mean by that is it someone that just goes, you know, I just have never really understood printing, and I want to get my head around it. Or is it someone that wants to sort of elevate their ability to have come out of the printer what they see in their head?
Well, actually, there are two tracks, and I would say you described it very well there, that there's the intro one track, which will give you the big overview and get you started, let you know what you need to know.
Right.
The track two is more advanced, and you'll get a lot of nuts and bolts. I mean, very information rich, but if you don't have that solid foundation, it's going to be like a hard rain on dry ground.
Yeah.
It's just not going to soak in.
I know exactly how that feels, actually.
But I encourage people to get in over their heads, because that's when you really learn.
Yeah. I think that printing is actually becoming a little bit easier than it was a few years ago, just in terms of color management. Profiles are easier to create or get your hands on. So, well, first of all, I'd be curious to hear if you agree with that. And then second of all, if that's true, does it allow you guys to talk a little bit more about the creative side of the process, you know, that you don't have to spend maybe as much time on every little technical detail like you used to?
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of reasons for that. Inks are getting better. Papers are getting better. We now have prints that last well over 300 years, deliver more saturated colors than we can get with analog prints. And recently with the Exhibition Fiber paper, you get about a 2.6 D-Max, which is blacker than any silver gelatin black you'll ever get.
Oh.
I mean, this is I finally feel like 2007, I finally entered the 21st century. All of the new things that are coming through Photoshop, the new things in digital printing, it's no longer a matter of trying to catch up to the analog standards. It's about exceeding them.
Yes.
And it's a really, really exciting time to be around. So in answer to the creative question, absolutely. But I also think that's because the educational community has gotten so strong. I mean, places like Photoshop World are tremendous resources for people to learn this. Really, there's a sense of community in sharing all of this with the various books, DVDs, the rest of it. It's really information rich. And there's a stronger user base as well. Many more users are coming to this, and they've already learned that. So with that foundation, you can start to get back to why you did it. I mean, when I do my sessions, I've recently released color management and 6 simple steps to good color management.
Oh, I love that. I love it. I love when you break it down like that.
I'm trying to make rocket science intelligible. My analogy is, yeah, color management is rocket science, but you don't need to be a rocket scientist to drive the rocket. In fact, the scientists rarely drive the rocket. You need an astronaut.
Yes.
So I'm really looking forward to going back to being an astronaut.
Nice.
But I tease myself all the time. I say, I can't believe I sound this way. I just wanted to make a picture.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But I mean, you're a terrific photographer. Your work is beautiful.
Thank you.
That must be one of the great parts of the Academy for those who attend, where you actually get to sit in a room and talk about prints with people that are, you know, making beautiful stuff. I mean, getting enthused about the art itself has to be a big component of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know what it's like to share the same subjects that you're very passionate about. I mean, that's thrilling. But then also to be able to get the job done quicker so you can make more images.
Exactly.
This whole workflow thing that Seth Resnick and Jeff Shealy and the rest are really advancing, that helps. Even, you know, for the fine artist, workflow means you can make more images.
Right.
Workflow means you have more time to make images or even be behind the camera.
Yeah.
And then we're all thinking outside the box so much because the box is changing so fast. And I know that's part of the upgrade fatigue.
Yeah.
Every 18 months, we've got to get used to this whole new set of tools.
Yeah.
At the same time, there's so many possibilities that it's tremendously stimulating and exciting. You just can't get bored today.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that because I was talking with Steven Johnson yesterday, and I personally, as a photographer, I feel like we're in a great spot right now. The tools are more fun than ever to work with. I feel like my work is better because I spend less time thinking about it. And Steven goes, well, we haven't even scratched the surface yet of what photography can do. And in a way, that sort of boggles my mind a little bit because I'm loving it right now that I can shoot with a nice 12-megapixel camera, have a beautiful 13x19 come out without that much strain where I'm thinking more about the subject than I am, you know, how many sheets of paper it takes me to get a good print. What do you see? I mean, as you kind of look into your crystal ball, do you see a lot more coming down the pike? Is the growth of change going to settle down a bit?
Just hang on to your hats because it's going to continue to accelerate.
Yeah.
Why do I finally feel I'm in the 21st century? You know, I've got a little camera here.
Yes, exactly.
And one of the main reasons I bought this was I carry my portfolio around on this. So, you know, people will say, well, what kind of work do you do? And I'll say, well, it's kind of a cross between Salvador Dali and Mark Rothko. And
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, but now I can say,
right,
that's what I do.
A picture, 1,000 words, right?
Right.
Exactly.
I can even carry the audio that's on my website on my iPod.
Exactly.
Right? This doesn't even begin to scratch it. It's really, Photoshop World has been a part of that. In Boston last year, 1 year ago, Adobe Labs unveiled a shot and a new technology displaying that. 31 shots from a Canon 1DS Mark II. Stitched together of the Boston Horizon.
Oh,
so you get, you know, the entire panorama.
Yeah.
And then they're using this super stitching software with a zoom capability. And they zoom out across the skyline, out to a crane, and show you the manufacturer of the windshield wiper.
Yeah.
And they come back out, and they find out what the guy on level 3 is having for breakfast. Grapefruit.
Yeah.
The guy who took that photograph had no idea of either of those two pieces of information.
Exactly.
So this fundamentally changes our relationship to what a photograph is.
Exactly get that. And I also want to just go back to the iPhone for a second. Funny story. I was teaching on a geek cruise, and it so happened that a particular cruise line, the Wi-Fi did not support the iPhone. And, of course, we didn't have cellular out in the middle of nowhere. Everyone was still carrying around their iPhones because it was a geek cruise focused on photography, and everyone had their portfolio. So even though the thing wasn't even being used as was intentionally designed, we were using it all day.
Exactly.
It's fabulous.
Wonderful.
It's really great stuff.
Here's another example. Photoshop World last September in Vegas.
Right.
Kevin Connor from Adobe showed a lens that they're working on. It's a very large array, about the size of my head, multiple optical elements. You take a shot at the same time, those get layered together, and with a slider, you can change depth of field after the moment of capture.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, Dirk Halstead is absolutely right.
Yeah.
Our cameras are going to be video cameras, and we're going to be video editing, finding the decisive moment long after it happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
In some cases, we may not even be there. So, yeah, things are changing radically.
Things are changing. I want to switch gears a little bit. A lot of times I'll ask photographers, you know, what their favorite lens is and so forth right now. Even though I love your photography, I really want to ask you, what sort of paper stocks Is there one or two stocks that you just love and that you go to all the time, or does it really depend on the shot? What paper are you in love with right now?
I've always been in love with Epson's Ultra Smooth Fine Art paper.
Okay.
I like the matte surfaces. They're organic. I photograph nature. It's very smooth and so holds gradation beautifully. It's not so much detail, though. It does do that very well.
Right.
And I'm willing to sacrifice a little density of black to do that. I had a recent body of work that was the first body of black and white work that was absolutely neutral and had really rich black backgrounds. And I was really tempted by the exhibition fiber that had come around.
Yeah.
But there was a different sense of quality of motion in the matte papers that the other didn't have. So a lot of times there are technical considerations. There are also aesthetic characteristics that. And I've actually been writing that in Photoshop User. There are a couple of PDFs up on my website on that. I think it's easy to get hung up with the physical things, the things that you can quantify. Don't forget about the sensual act of looking. This is a pleasure. It's a pleasure to look.
Absolutely.
And these things are carriers of passion. So find the materials that really...
You know, the thing that I like about these papers is not only do the images look great, I love the way they feel. I love actually not having all the prints in a frame or something and having them out where I can just hold them and have the tactile experience at the same time I'm looking at the image.
I wish I had a force field to put my prints under, but unfortunately people come to my exhibitions and they sneeze or they poke.
Right.
And
So
glass is a necessary evil.
Yeah.
It's just, you know.
Yeah.
These are the kinds of things I talk about with Mac. Both in the Epson Print Academy, but also in the workshops that we just started. It's called the Fine Art of Digital Printing, and that's actually the website. It's Epson sponsored, and we're going out to some of the best educational institutions in the industry. And I've talked a lot to different universities, mm-hmm. and I know who the folks are that are really passionate about their students and really helping them move into successful careers. And so we're out at Hallmark in Western Massachusetts in July, and in October, the end of October, we're out at Brooks again. We did Brooks last year, and it seems to be a really great base out in Santa Barbara.
Oh, I bet.
And we do that. Right now, it's two times a year.
Right.
There's about 24 students, the two of us, but also the sleepers are Mac's right-hand man, Ming, and my wife, Artie. So it's really 4 on 24.
Yeah.
And we stay up until the lab until 11 o'clock at night, pushing all kinds of pieces of paper. In fact, somebody did a really interesting thing last fall. They had a picture of dry cleaners. And we were talking about alternate ways of presenting work. And said, you know, this would be really great as a big print hung up on a coat hanger in a plastic bag. And so at the end of the week, he did that. He displayed it, came in. He even got a little carrier to roll it around. And it was great fun.
That's good stuff.
People are really mixing it up.
Yeah. So, and that's also a nice segue. So people that want to find out more about not only what you're writing, but also where you're teaching all that, where can we point them?
Okay, with 12 to 14 workshops a year, writing for six magazines and a couple of websites, books on the horizon, 12 DVDs coming out in the next year, I'm a pretty busy guy.
Yeah, I would imagine sleep doesn't figure prominently in your life.
Just enough.
Just enough, that's right.
So the best way to find out about it is on my website. It's an archive of all of the materials I produce and the newsletter that I send out. I've got about 10,000 members right now.
Nice.
Get to find out about what's coming up for the next month. They can check the calendar on my website. A lot of times there are free lectures by Canon, sponsored by Canon or Epson at different universities, and they're open to the public. So some of these things are free.
Oh, great.
And the newsletter always announces new PDF for, in some cases, test files, audio clips, soon video. I get a lot of email saying, oh, could you tell me how to do this?
Yes.
And rather than sending out the same email, I post it as a PDF for some other thing on my website, and I let my subscribers know what I've posted that's new.
Yeah.
So that's my way of tech support, because I just can't answer all of those 100 emails because I got another 100 emails that
I have to deal with. Well, it's helpful for the whole community, too. You know.
Well, I think it's really important to understand that we're going through a profound paradigm shift. And one of the things I find tremendously encouraging is this community is very generous with their knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
We all realize we're in this transition together, and I encourage that. We really are trying. It's not just me. It's people like Colin Smith and the whole Pixel Mafia crew that I go through. We're interested in strengthening our community, because what we do today determines what photography is becoming.
Yeah.
So it's a fantastic time to be involved, and it's a really welcoming community. And I invite you to come and be a part of that and be a proactive part where you also share your knowledge base and pass this stuff forward.
That's great. Yeah.
So that's what that's about.
JP, it's just a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming by. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
John Paul.
This show was produced and is copyrighted by O'Reilly Media. For more podcasts, tutorials, reviews, weblogs, tips, and tricks, visit O'Reilly Digital Media at digitalmedia.oreilly.com.